Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take a bow, son. I mean that. Take a bow.
I'm Richard Keys.
I'm Andy Gray.
And I've got a very milky cup of tea.
Yeah, it's too milky for you.
To drink. It is, like, yeah.
Luis, give him a milky cup of tea, it's bad.
I'll do my best with it.
Mine's lovely, by the way.
Normally I'd be straight back to the kitchen to start again, but yeah. I can't upset him. Anyway, here we are, back together again after our global hookup last week. I can now look into the eyes.
Yes.
Of my very good friend,
yes.
Andrew Mullen Gray. Have you stopped partying yet, you boys?
Well, I'm pretty sure the team have stopped partying after having a very, very good night after the Serbia result. Of course, they did. They enjoyed it and had a lovely time. Great. First time the men's team qualified for a major tournament.
I'm glad you said that. Well done. Because I was about to point out that, of course, although it's been 23 years since the men's team qualified for a senior tournament, the women were at the 2019 World Cup.
Correct. So 23 years by the time it takes place, it'll have been since we competed. So I think they've got every reason to be very, very happy about what they've done. Surprised me, I have to say. I didn't think we'd do it. So I'm absolutely delighted. Watched the game. Thought we were it's as good as I've seen us play, which I was pleased about, away from home as well, especially. But we are, I've said it to you many times, Richard, we don't get many goals. We have to be very solid at the back. We can't give goals away. The two games post-Serbia have proven that. We've lost them both 1-0. I think pretty sure that's the right. And that's the trouble we're going to have until we find someone who can get us one or two goals.
By the way.
We're going to depend on, you know, winning 1-0, drawing 1-1, winning the pens.
You're at the finals.
We're at the finals.
Who cares? What's the ambition? You're not going to win it, nor are England. So go and enjoy it.
England not winning it. Are you sure about that?
Well, after the latest 4-0.
It's in England.
Well, it might be in England. I don't
96?
Think
96?
No. I think against Belgium, I think against really good opposition, they come up short.
Well, we shall.
I think against Iceland. I wouldn't have minded a run out, to be fair. welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the Premier League, of course, after the international break. International friendlies, Andrew. Do we care?
They're not friendlies. These were competitive games.
No, the game against Iceland.
The friendlies that took place in between.
Do we care? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
By the way,
let me tell you, supporters don't care.
No.
The vast majority don't care,
no,
Richard.
I think Wembley would have looked like that anyway.
You know, supporters now basically want their team, their club team. That's they support. Yes, they support the national team. Of course, they do. But I speak to my family back in England a lot, and my wife's family. The one thing they're so pleased about this weekend is Premier League's back.
All of us are,
yeah.
Because it's what we live for. Yeah. And international football has now. I laugh when I see suggestions that Jose Mourinho should stop coaching Spurs and take on the national team manager's job. Jürgen Klopp might be tempted to go and coach Germany. No, he won't.
Why?
Not at any price.
Why?
Absolutely not.
Not when they're fit, man.
No chance.
They've got an appetite for the game. They're not
no chance. International management.
10 times a season.
International management now is for people like Steve Clarke, who will get a good club job on the back of what he's done.
Or somebody who's maybe in the latter years of their coaching career and wants to just
tends
slow
not
down
to happen
bit.
So much, does it? It's young men now that are getting into big, international management and club as a result. Chris Coleman, another example.
Yeah.
Giggsy has snatched your hands off. Yeah. Mark Hughes started the trend. Yeah. Anyway, first a bit of housekeeping. A reminder, please do share the podcast and rate and review. We're very, very appreciative of that. And of course, subscribe and follow, as this means we'll, as if by magic, appear on your podcast platform, ready for you to listen to us most Saturday mornings in the Western Hemisphere. Mm. Yeah. Follow us both on Instagram and Twitter at KeysAndAnd, KeysAndGreyPod, and on email at KeysAndGreyThePodcast@gmail.com. A couple of bits and pieces. As was revealed here and on beIN Sports before anybody else, automated offsides are coming. FIFA has asked firms to come up with new technology that will help decide close VAR calls based on algorithms of what is and isn't offside based on hundreds of real incidents.
Great.
It's coming.
Sorry.
I told you it would.
Leave the game alone, please.
Well, it's too late, Andy.
Well, it's too late, but I actually fear, I mean, people like me who, and I am of latter years, I get that. But people like me and others I speak to, not even like me, people a lot younger than me, Richard, who played in the Premier League and have played in the Premier League, are as confused and disappointed, I think, as I am, that the interference in this wonderful sport that's made it the greatest spectator sport in the world for, well, forever. And they're now, I think, heading towards affecting those numbers. I really believe that. I think if we're not careful, we're going to lose people. Younger generation are going to grow up. So many other things to do. And football is going to be so clinical and stop it for this and stop it for that. And let's have a look at this and let's have a look at that. That's not what made football great. What made football great was the flow of it. It flowed. It never stopped unless it went out for a throw-in or a corner. It flowed. It was always exciting. Now you wait and see a goal scored. Hold on. Right? See you 60,000 at that end? Just quiet a minute. You can't celebrate.
Well, perhaps not at that end.
Well,
in
you know what I mean. Yeah, you can't celebrate just for another 2.5 minutes until we check in.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
I agree. I'd like to take issue with you. I can't because I agree. PGMOL, Stockley Park, what were you thinking appointing David Coote for Liverpool's match against Leicester this weekend? First time he would have been in VAR since the Pickford incident.
Hold on. What do you mean, what were you doing? It's... Remember who the initials you mentioned there tell you why.
I know.
PGMOL.
I know.
Haven't got a clue.
It's just staggering ineptitude. It really is. And could you tell me, please, since announcing at the start of the season, and I quote, I need to earn my next contract, what has Pep Guardiola done subsequently that's led him to sign one now?
I didn't expect such a difficult question so early in the show.
Well, I'm bemused. I don't understand.
All I can think of, and you're welcome to shoot me down. All I can think of is that the doubt that has surrounded it, the questions that have been leveled towards him in the last couple of months, and there have been a few, we've done it ourselves here on beIN Sports, question whether his decision to delay the signing of a new contract was affecting his team's form. We talked about that at beIN many, many times. So maybe that has influenced his decision to say, I'm going to put pen to paper to take all this doubt out the way and my team can get on and start playing again, if that is affecting him. It might be that, because he obviously hasn't done anything this season that has warranted a new contract. No, because they're wallowing in the league a little bit behind everyone else, and not playing great, struggling to score goals. So, you know, maybe he's just said, yeah, I need to take this doubt away. I need to get everybody with a clear head. Everyone will know, all the players know, I'm here, I'm going to be here next year, and going on from there. So to remove that doubt, I'm going to sign a new deal. Maybe.
So really what he told us at the start of the season was just nonsense.
I don't know.
Right, those who have followed us for a number of years, particularly those that used to listen to the radio, will know that it is very often the case that the subject matter that we're dealing with has not been discussed prior to us sitting down. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so.
My thinking generally being, as I've said many times, there's only one first. Mm-hmm. So if it's rehearsed, I'm going to miss the reaction I'm looking for, yeah? Right. My contention is, and this is for discussion,
right.
Aston Villa
yeah.
are a better team than Everton.
When?
Right now.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that I have already... obviously, spent some time not just thinking about this, but drawing up a combined 11, which each and every time I do leaves me with a surplus of Villa players, seven to the six that I put.
Seven
from Villa go into a combined 11. Seven. Six.
Five.
Six and five from Everton. My argument is, right now, Villa are a better team than Everton. Discuss.
Well, what do you mean right now? Today?
Mm-hmm.
On the basis of what?
This season. On the basis of what we have seen.
No. Everton's best side that I've seen this season, I think, is a really good side. I think it's got really, really good players in it. And I look at Villa... that wonderful, wonderful victory against Liverpool will be the highlight of their season. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
I would argue that straight away. I think their performance against Arsenal was better because it was crafted and they had to give it more than they did against Liverpool, who capitulated at 3-4. Stop playing.
Sorry, there's no one beat Liverpool 7-2 recently that I can think
of. Well, no, because no one's been in a position whereby they could. And look, I'm not diluting what happened. I'm not saying it wasn't a great performance.
Arguing which performance was best is irrelevant. Both were terrific.
No, it's not, because the purpose of my argument is that Aston Villa right now have a better team than Everton.
Who's your sixth then?
Well, we're going to discuss with a number of guests because
I think it's a really good question because I think it's really difficult to say categorically who's better because I do think...
I know both, you've got a problem
both
because...
Both these sides have had exceptional results this season.
One's close to your heart and the other one gave you your break. So I knew it would put you in a position whereby you've got to be very careful.
No, I'll be honest.
I said to you, tap dancing...
I'll be honest in what I think.
Well, we'll pick an 11.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And we'll do it with an open mind, with the support of, in your corner, a blue...
Oh.
Right? And in mine, a claret.
A blue? Oh, a claret? Who have you found? What do you think then? Oh, I think I'm going to guess here because you've not told me. Well,
let's. So, what will happen now is I'm going to get the boys to join us live.
Right.
Hold on, let me just text them.
I still have no idea about who they are.
No. Right. Well, it would have spoiled it otherwise, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be so much fun now. Agreed?
Yeah.
Right, so let's call our first guest.
Okay.
Here we go. It's like the golden short, isn't it?
Oh, the way he picks up, see if I'm right. He's a blue.
He's a blue.
All right, Reedy, how are you doing, son?
I'm not too bad.
I got it right. He never told me who he was calling, but I knew it would be you, fella.
I know. Right. He can't keep a secret.
No, he didn't tell me.
What we've got now, Reedy, is I'm going to be joined by someone that played in claret and blue. And who's going to be in my corner for the purposes of this discussion?
Let me guess this. Now this is a stab.
Is that Burnley or West Ham?
Oi, give yourself. Oi, dude.
So, Mr. Reed, thank you first of all for joining us. My argument, Reedy, is Villa are a better team right now than Everton.
Is that a question or a statement?
Yes.
It's actually a statement, but I can turn it into a question. Yeah. Are Villa a better team than Everton in your view? Georgie B, are you there, son?
Georgie,
hello. Georgie B. We're going to get a proper Villa player to offer his opinion. He's biased. He's on the coaching staff.
Oh, how come you're already starting with attacking me being biased?
Georgie B, good evening to you and thank you for joining us. Reedy's on the other line. It's me and you against the two Toffees, son.
That's unfair. I've played for both sides.
You're a blue.
Played for both sides.
You played for both sides.
And I will offer an honest opinion as well, my other blue partner.
Right, okay. So, Georgie, I just put it to Reedy to make the case against my argument. which is that Villa right now are a better team than Everton. Reedy, agree or disagree?
I disagree because I think it's too early to tell. I think when you look at Everton, obviously Richarlison has been missing for games. I think Everton have got a good team and the 11 are out, even though I've got a concern about Everton when they haven't got the ball, about the energy, about getting it back. But I think it's too early in the season. I think time will tell, to be perfectly honest. And that's not sitting on the fence. That's being experienced in football over a long period of time.
I'll give you that. Georgie B, could you argue to the contrary?
Yeah, I would like to argue, really, because even though it is early in the season, and yes, Everton somehow has had a better start than Villa has had, but Villa would be very pleased with their current form and performances so far in the season. But if we go by as a squad of players, then I am edging to choose for Villa, and that's not because I'm biased.
Yeah,
and that's not because
of course it's not George. Yeah.
No, I think that if we compare the both squads together, mm-hmm. Villa might just edge in terms of quality wise and in terms of resilience to win more games in the Premier League than Everton might do.
Right, I like Villa
in the middle of the park. I like McGinn, obviously Grealish, and whatever you say about Barkley, I think Barkley's a talented player as well. So
he's not getting in the combined side ready. Nowhere near
he's not in my team. He's not in my team. I've already made a mistake. I'll have to confess, the boys weren't with us. I said I'd got 7 from Villa in my team and 6 from Everton, which obviously gives me too many players. So,
yeah,
I was just going to say
no
that.
Wonder no wonder they're a better team. No wonder they're a better team, really.
So, I'll tell you what. I've got the team in front of me, and you've got to argue it down, you boys. If at all you disagree, so the goalkeeper is unquestionably Martinez.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree. I think Pickford's been shaky at times this season, even at the beginning of the season. He's made one or two high-profile errors. I still think that when you look, who is he? He's England's number one goalkeeper. That tells you a lot about him. But if you're just judging it purely on how he's played for Everton this year and how Martinez has played for Villa, then you would probably, I think I'm right, Reedy, would I be wrong in that, and that shading towards the goalkeeper?
I think I don't feel comfortable with him. I've got to say that. I think England's number one. I'd want more from him. And I think some of his decision-making leaves a lot to be desired, in my opinion.
So we're agreed, Martinez.
Yeah.
Right fullback, Matty Cash, all day long.
What? Is it a Seamus Coleman?
Yes, he's gone. Legs have gone.
No.
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 Legs have gone.
No.
Matty Cash.
No.
Up and down.
No.
Good defender.
Totally unproven at that level yet.
I said right now.
Is that Matty Cash from North Forest?
Yes.
That's him.
Yes. Right, go on then. Move on.
No, Georgie.
See, he knows I'm right. He knows I'm right, Georgie B. Yes.
No, listen. I think Matty Cash in the long term would be a much better fullback than Coleman, I think.
What, Coleman at his best? So,
what do you mean Coleman at his best?
Well, you said he'll be a much better fullback. Well, of course he will. It's like saying that Keezy will be a much better midfield player than you now because you don't play anymore.
Well, that was always the case. I mean, come on, I had more than he did. He's a water carrier.
By the way, Keezy's never heard of Matty Cash before he signed for Villa. I've seen more than Matty Cash than you. So, Coleman... Right.
Not right now. My argument is now. Yes. Coleman's been a fantastic servant and a wonderful player.
He's been fantastic.
But that's the point. He's been. I'm looking now.
He's been fantastic this season.
Last game.
Yes.
Last game he played well because he has Rodriguez in front of him. When Everton didn't have the ball.
couldn't find him either.
Well, there you go. I think Rodriguez isn't getting a Reedy side there. Can read that. That's a certainty.
So for me, it's cash for two out of... Well, it's a 2-2 there because George is with me. Okay, there are two centre-backs, Keane and Mings.
Well, if I may start, I think there are not many good left-sided centre-halves who are big and strong and powerful in defending. And very good to reasonable good to very good on the ball as well. I think Mings is one of those players that if you have him in your squad, that's when you start to appreciate how well he actually has done for Villa. And I don't see many games where he has made a lot of errors or errors leading directly into goals conceding. Now, there was an interesting start earlier on in the season when Van Dijk was fit, and it was that Tyrone Mings was just behind Van Dijk in the stats of being passed by or run by an attacker with the ball. He was just behind Van Dijk, which was very rare. He gets beaten on 1v1. So for me, I think that's an easy one for Reedy to call, as well as for our friend Andy.
For me, Reedy, Keane? I know I've shuffled him right, but...
Keane's solid. If you're looking at Keane, I think when he attacks the ball and is straightforward, I think he's really decent. I just worry down the side when people go down the side or anyone with pace. I've got to say that.
I'm not going to argue with one of each, I have to say. I think that's fair. I mean, Konza is at a decent start to the season. That's fair. I think they've settled those two together. I think Keane and Mina are decent when they play well.
But Mina,
I don't think there's much between them.
Well, Yerry Mina didn't get picked last time out.
No, I don't think there's much between them, the quartet. I think the left back's a shoe in.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
He's a shoe in.
Yeah. We all agree.
Yeah.
Dean?
Yeah.
Look at Dean. He's got to be a left back. That's a shoe in.
I'll go through three in midfields rather than just talking about one, because this took me some time as well. Right. And there's some very good
count. What formation are we playing?
4-3-3.
All right.
Teams play. So we have to pick that.
That's Dean Smith.
No, we're going 4-3-3. My three in midfield.
Right.
Decore.
Yeah.
McGinn. Grealish.
No. Can you play Grealish in midfield?
You can.
No, you can't.
Well, I'm going to explain to you why.
No, you can. I'm sorry.
I've got to get Richarlison in.
No. Well, sorry. You'll have to leave.
Grealish
on the right
plays
side.
In a five in midfield.
You'll have to put him in the right then if you want Richarlison in.
You can't
play Grealish.
Decore,
in midfield.
McGinn, Grealish. Chaps, Georgie?
It depends. Are you playing Grealish on top of the two sitting midfielders, or are you playing them as a three?
He hasn't got a clue, George. He's plucked him out a lucky bag and he's just thought, yeah,
I'll tell you what I'm doing, Georgie. I've got two sitting and I've got Grealish slightly ahead, but I've had to. I've got him in midfield for a
You've
purpose.
You've got John McGinn sitting.
Yes, he can do that.
No, he can't.
He's one of Scotland's finest right now.
Yeah, as an attacking midfield player. And off the front,
sorry,
most of the
you're
time.
You're falling into modern day
no,
jargon.
I'm not.
He's a midfield player.
No, he's not.
Really?
And Decore doesn't sit there either.
Well, considering I did used to apply my trade in there, so
exactly.
I was wondering when you were asking me. You know what I mean? I think Decore is all energy. I like Alan. He feels old.
Me too.
He smells danger. So I'd have them two in, definitely in the middle of the park. Grealish, I prefer to be at the top end of the pitch, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you mean, as a top end, as a number nine, or as a number... No, not, no. Hey, I'd play him off the side, coming in narrow.
Yeah.
I think he's an intelligent footballer who can read the game. And when you're attacking, I think he causes problems if you give him that free spirit, mate.
Right, my three, right? If anyone's interested.
Just may I just say,
go on.
Because Reedy mentioned Alan, fantastic first two or three games, got injured, came back, hasn't been anything like the player that introduced himself to us, might be as a result of an injury. My concern would be that maybe he flattered us.
Right, well, that's a false concern. Right, my three would be Alan sitting, sniffs out everything, absolutely, Reedy's right, sniffs danger, gets across the passes played into the wards of front people, breaks it up, nice and simple. And two ahead of that would be Decore, definitely. I think he's such a powerful player. I think he's better than people think he is.
Agreed.
And better than he gets credit for. And I would put John McGinn there as well. So if it was Alan sitting, and then I'd have the other two in front with a license to get forward whenever they wanted.
Okay. That would be my midfield. Well, you just shot yourself in the foot because you haven't thought further beyond that, have you?
I have.
And I'm about to give you my front three.
I don't care.
Which are Watkins, Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison.
Who's playing right?
Watkins is going to have to.
Yeah, what?
Nah.
No, we get. Nah. No, Watkins. No, no.
Well, you've got to get him in. He's the second top scorer in the country.
So you just got to get him in there?
Yes.
No.
In a combined 11?
No.
That's not going to play anybody?
No.
On current form, Watkins has to be in the team?
No.
George, back me up.
My dear friend, do you want to hear my front?
Yes, please, Georgie B.
Yes.
I've gone for Watkins up top.
Thank you.
As I said,
as
forward.
A nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin's
as
better
a centre forward. Yeah, as a centre forward.
Okay, go.
And I've got Jack on the left.
Yeah.
I've got Richarlison as a number 10.
Richarlison
behind.
Is a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I've got Jay Rodriguez on the right.
Sorry, well, you've now got four up top, so you've got one player too many.
No, he's having two set midfield.
No,
players.
I haven't.
He's already played two sitters
in
midfield.
We said we're playing four.
Who's your two sitters in midfield, George, then?
Decore and McGinn.
Again, McGinn's not going to sit there.
There you go.
I know. Listen, you could pick a team or you could fantasy island it.
Sorry, James Rodriguez. Really?
Did I pick him? I've not picked him.
Reedy?
Yeah.
James. Go on.
James Rodriguez is a terrific footballer and great left peg. I have got a concern when he hasn't got the ball, I've got to say that. I'd go Calvert-Lewin on top. I'd go Grealish and I'd go Richarlison off the right.
That's my three. I agree with you.
Neither of you want to play Watkins.
I've seen Watkins play, yeah.
Sensational.
Good potential.
Yeah. You just said to me before the boys joined us, Ollie Watkins, Villa's great start, but best game of the season
the way,
so far against Liverpool.
Richard.
Yes, Reedy.
Richard. Is this Watkins who was at Exeter and went to bed?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but everybody grows up.
Hey, by the way.
So you're going to drop Richarlison?
No, I
like the boy.
No, I told you my three. That's why I played Grealish further back. I've got Watkins, Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison up top, and that's why I've got Grealish breaking from the other two, Decore and McGinn.
So you're picking round pegs and square holes.
No, I'm picking a really good side.
No. You're just manufacturing it.
It's not where he has been, is it?
No.
It's not where Watkins has been.
Exactly.
Or he is where he is right now.
Exactly.
Oh, no, hey, George.
I'm sorry, Calvert-Lewin's having a bad season.
I was just trying to give Richard a little bit of an insight of that.
Yes.
Me seeing a lot of him. I seen a lot of him at Brentford. He was absolutely outstanding.
With the other two, the BMW, Reedy. I watched him all season long. He was fantastic.
I've seen him at Villa this season. He's done great. I just think at this moment in time, I'd go with Calvert-Lewin.
Well, that's why in my team I've got the two. But if you've got your teams written down, boys, I have got six from Villa and five from Everton.
I don't know how many I've got. I have to count them up. One. I don't know.
George, you've obviously got yours in front of you. What have you got?
I've got Martinez in goal.
Yeah.
I've got Cass right back.
Correct.
Mings is in there, so that's three.
Yeah.
McGinn, one of the holding midfielders. Four. I've got Watkins up top, that's five. We on the left hand side, that's six.
And I've got the opposite. I've got six Everton and five Villa.
Have you? Reedy, what's yours saying?
I've got 10 Everton and one Villa.
I love him. He's got all Everton and Jack Grealish. I know what he did.
Oh my God. It's interesting, though. It's interesting.
We could have known this was coming. I'm surprised you said it. Yeah, I was actually waiting for Ricky to come up with it.
What's interesting is that the two Evertonians haven't got Rodriguez in their starting 11.
No, I think that it's not interesting. It's who you pick. I would have to look and say, I would have to leave out Jack Grealish if I wanted Rodriguez or Richarlison if I wanted him in. And I don't think he's better at the moment than either of those two.
No.
There you go. I think he's a wonderful... I agree with Reedy, he's a wonderful footballer, but there's something about him that Man United, Reedy said it, exposed, particularly in the first 45 minutes, down Seamus Coleman's side, that he lacked a bit. And I'm sure that it wasn't lost on Ancelotti, that. So that's the reason he wouldn't be in my side. The boy's a gifted footballer, but I want people I can depend on, and Richarlison and Grealish I can depend on.
Mm. My concern would
Andy,
be that...
Andy, you said earlier that you would go for Seamus Coleman rather than Matt Cash because Seamus is more of a solid defender. So
no, he's a brilliant going forward.
You're saying if you've got good fullback there who's a defender, then can you not afford to play Jay Rodriguez then as a right-sided winger?
Well, before last weekend, Reedy and I watched Everton against Man United, and United picked him apart on that right-hand side, George. I might have said yes to that question. We can get away with it. But after the first 45 at Goodison, I've changed my mind on that a bit, George.
Now, you see...
Back to plan B, eh?
My concern, and I think Mr. Reed will appreciate this, is that it's getting a bit colder now in the UK, and...
Rodriguez won't show up.
I think you'll see the best of Rodriguez from the back end of March through April and May. There are some players that take time to adapt to the British climate, aren't there, George?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember.
I'll tell you what. I don't know why we're having the conversation anyhow, because nowadays when you throw five subs on, it doesn't matter who gets in the first 11.
Yeah, we're only three still in the Premier League.
Well, we are.
Nowadays.
That's interesting you mentioned that, really. I don't want to stray just yet off that. I want Georgie to tell us two stories. Uh-huh. One, of asking Gordon Strachan if he could skip the afternoon training session.
He never.
And two, Georgie, let me ask you this question, Reedy, and then George will tell us. How many players, Reedy, when you've been holding a team meeting, have fallen asleep?
None.
George is gone.
I'm going to say that. My team meetings were a little bit different.
Yeah, yours were. No, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody
by the way, we have that in the documentary video. Don't worry.
I've got a serious point here, Richard.
Yes, George.
Listening to your comment about the weather forecast and the winter seasons in the UK. Now, hear me out.
Yes.
I think you can scrap that now because most stadiums now during the winter months have heated pitches. They have heaters in the stadium.
Yes, but they're not going to warm you. George, they're not going to warm you in a way that you needed to be warmed because you didn't want to go out in the rain.
No, let me finish.
Go on.
Most games will be a lot warmer right now than when Andy was playing in the 80s or 90s. I guarantee you now.
Wait, hold on a minute. Let me tell you, George. Villa Park
George,
in 2020 is just
George,
as cold as
George,
it was in 1975. George,
go on, Reedy.
Right.
Go on.
No, George is right. When Andy played, I tell you what, it got warmer when I played. I can't remember that. George, I'm with you, mate. George, spot on. When he played, dear me.
I was just about to say, by the way, I always do when I find myself in Reedy's company. Yeah. But George, let me tell you. It's at Stoke, and I know they're not in the Premier League, but it's always been the benchmark. At Stoke on a Tuesday night in November, it's every bit as cold as it once was.
Yes.
And I actually called George this week and said, will you join us? He was on a bus going to Carlisle. Carlisle! He would never have gone on the bus to Carlisle with Coventry, ever.
He's got a work, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have a
Carlisle hamstring, I think, for that.
Carlisle hamstring.
Yeah. You can't get that as a coach, though. That's the only thing.
George, you're currently closer to it than any of us. What is the feel? I mean, Reedy mentioned it. We're the only league now. Even the FL have said we're going to have five subs. What's the thinking at your club about the restriction to three, or are you for it?
We are not really concerned about that because we don't have that many injuries as other clubs are. My opinion is that the clubs that have a lot more injuries are the ones always pushing for more subs, the five substitutions. But if you go back and you look at the clubs that don't really struggle with injuries, those managers aren't complaining, and we are not in that position to say that, well, it's yes or no. Preferably, we prefer to keep with the three subs at the moment.
Do you think it gives them,
as I said,
do you think it restricts the big boys, really? Should it be five?
No, well, why should we make the game more, in their advantage than for anybody else? Just because they have far superior, better players. And they have better players on the bench, which obviously they want to utilize. So, as an example, our best 11, if they're playing, we can get a result. But if Man City have five substitutions, they can play, world-class players coming off the bench to make the difference in the game, which we don't have.
No,
so then that's not...
Can I ask you a question, Richard?
Of course.
Why have five?
Well, what do you want then? How many do you want, Richard? What are you saying? Why have five? Have what? Seven? Nine?
Well,
ten?
I think three is enough.
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Peter? Why not
have 11 on the bench and change them all?
Exactly. But what I'm saying, Rudy, when you look at the stats this year, Man City have not hardly used the three subs in any game, and yet they're complaining about injuries.
Last time out, they used one.
They used one.
And Klopp used two.
But they're not using all the subs anyway for the majority of the time they play.
And I'll throw something else at you in the equation, substitutes. I think football is a game of stamina as well as skill, finesse, ability. There's still got to be that, I understand injuries. I understand tactical substitutions. But surely, if we make it any more, it gets a lot more confused.
Right. Do you know what I think, guys? I think as well, just quickly on a football note, I think if you're a team like, as George says, a top team in the top six or seven in the league, and you could pick, you could change five outfield players, right? That to me is a totally different team, and it's like should be a totally different weekend. That is playing
two teams
in the one game, and I think that is unfair to the vast majority of teams in the league. I really do.
Yeah.
I get the injuries, but coping with injuries and losing players from suspensions has always... Now, we might be more than normal. It's abnormal circumstances. So I think we've got to suck up and accept that and get on with it and say, this is it. This is fair for all three subs. It's fair for everybody. And we shouldn't just be loading everything towards the big boys. It's only an opinion.
That's what we want.
Can I just get off the lid? Carlo Ancelotti, a magnificent coach with a great record. But I've got to say, Dean Smith, from Brentford to Villa, I think he's done absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
And I love the way his team plays as well. I've got to say that. So I just thought I'd interject there.
So, in conclusion, gentlemen, can I first of all say thank you, Reedy and George.
Thanks, Reedy and George.
And if Dean Smith is our coach, that's six from Villa plus the coach.
Oh, no, no,
me
no,
and George
no.
win,
no,
hands
coach,
down.
You cannot pick Dean above Carlo Ancelotti. You might be, I mean, come on. You've already said to me, of all the great managers, he's never quoted as in the best in the world. And you're always saying to me, Ancelotti, one of the best managers in the world.
No, I think the best. It wasn't my idea. It was your mates.
No, so there you go. So you can't. I mean, Dean, I hope, will become a magnificent manager at Milan, win loads of things. But right now, you can't say...
No, Carlo's... He's granddaddy. Yeah. He's new Bobby. He's new Bobby Robson. Yeah. He is. Yeah. Listen, guys, thank you very much. That was fun. Really enjoyed it. George and Reedy, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it was a 1-1. It was a 1-1 draw then.
No, six from Villa, five from Everton.
It's the white wine in the post.
Reedy and I had six from Everton and five from Villa.
I don't think you did. I think Reedy inadvertently.
I had the goalie.
Yep. Matty
one,
Cash.
One centre back. Oh, in fact, more. I had the goalie, one centre back. I did, right?
Yeah.
Then I had McGinn in midfield.
Yep.
And
Grealish.
Grealish. 7-4, I had.
Yeah, well, that's why you'd lose the game. Once again, once again, chaps.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Talking about weather, how is the weather back there, boys?
Football's good. Thank you. The weather is much warmer in Birmingham.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
again.
Boys.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Brilliant.
One other thing. Lots of chat this week about a very important topic, Andy. A tragic topic as well, and one that you and I, and we're never going to get any credit for this, but you and I played a part in. I like to think we got the ball rolling. We were the first to speak to Dawn Astle. Do you remember many years ago on the radio?
9 years ago.
A problem that footballers now started to discuss, the brain injury and subsequent, death of many. Mm-hmm. The Mail's now campaigning on the issue off the back of the sad passing of Nobby Styles and the news of Sir Bobby Charlton. My question would be, why has it taken so long?
Yeah, where have you been?
Yeah.
I don't think that's relevant. We have spoken about this many times. And we were lucky enough to speak to Dawn somewhat, I think, nine and a half years ago.
Yeah.
In her quest for some justice for her. Not justice, so...
Well, yeah, justice.
From answers. Yeah. As to why her dad passed in the way he did. And it's taken, she's been treading water for the best part of these 9 years. And it's a shame, and it's a shame on the likes of the PFA and others, Richard, that it has taken two high profile players to come down with this. I'm talking about Nobby, who passed sadly, and Sir Bobby, who's contracted it, who's got it, he's got dementia. It's taken that those two guys been announced at roughly the same time. Slightly away after Nobby's passing, it was announced that Bobby was in with dementia, coping with dementia. And it's taken that to get people going. And, you know, and I just think that the PFA and that should have been going. But you and I get why they're not going there. We know that.
It's too hard.
It's a can of worms they don't want to open, Richard. Mm. They really don't.
I would add, and it's Jack's son who has said, not all dementia-related cases are as a result of heading footballs.
No, of course they're not.
And we have to be careful about that. And I think it is an inconvenient truth that Jack actually was fighting cancer at the end.
Right.
So it may very well be that for other reasons he left us. But I do think it is a subject that needs to be discussed.
I mean, I'm glad it's out there now.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm glad that some high-profile people are putting their weight behind it. Absolutely.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, talk to the boys.
You knew it was Reedy, didn't you? But you didn't know it was George.
I knew it was Reedy. I wouldn't have got Georgie. I thought you were going to go Andy Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to go AT. Yeah. And I thought, it's got to be Andy Townsend. I knew Reedy. It had to be Reedy. It was either Reedy or Sharpie. But I thought, you'll go Reedy.
We win. Anyway, please follow us both on Instagram and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod, and on email Keys and Grey the podcast. And that's Keys and A-N-D. Keys and Grey the podcast at gmail.com, and we look forward to spending time with you next week.
Absolutely.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.